We'll call to order the February 7th, 2018 meeting of the Santa Barbara County Air Pollution Control District Hearing Board. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Dressler?
Here.
Mr. Peters?
Here.
Mr. Saperstein?
Here.
Mr. Cox?
Here.
And Dr. Wagatuta?
Here. First item of business is election of a chair and a vice chair. Is there any discussion?
I think you're doing a great job.
Normally, we move the vice chair up, and then the question is who wants to be the vice chair. So, is anybody interested?
I'll nominate Mr. Cox as chair and Mr. Dressler as vice chair, if he's willing.
I'll do it.
Any other discussion?
I'd second that.
All right, we all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. You have to sit over here.
You're in the middle.
All right. It's just that easy.
Yeah. You have to strip it, right?
Yeah.
We have a gold watch.
I don't have my cheat sheet anymore.
Was a fast year, huh? Yeah, but it was pretty busy, yeah. Much busier ones.
I'd like to thank all the people who made this election possible. I hope to do all the work of the county and do what's best. All right, so the next item is the approval of minutes of December 6, 2017 meeting. Is there any discussion?
I'll move the minutes.
Second.
Got a first and a second. You're all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
You abstain, right? Because I wasn't there.
Okay. Opposed, abstain? Great. Thank you very much. Motion passes. Next item is request for continuance or addition of ex agenda items. Do we have any requests for continuance or addition of ex agenda items? No? Next item is announcements and staff reports. Are there any announcements or reports from the staff?
Yes, we do, Mr. Chair. There are a few items that are ongoing. The ARB training that we had, as you all know, we're continually working on improving, discussing things from each of your requests and then internally to improve our program better. There's a few items I'd like to talk about. One of them was alternate members and whether or not we need alternate hearing board members. After some internal discussions, we evaluated. We didn't feel it was necessary at this time because all of the long-term variances that were issued because of the pipeline are now in two-year windows. So we're not going to have all these continual full hearing board meetings. So at this time, we're going to hold off on looking for alternate hearing board members. The second thing was swearing in each person we discussed about, and I believe this is maybe the third or fourth hearing where we've done that, so that's just become part of the process now. So each person will be sworn in individually and state their name for the record. Another one was the EPA.
So we're not doing a group swearing anymore. They'll just do it as they come in then?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Oh, each person has to come up and state their name if they're going to be speaking.
For each case.
But we're not going to have everybody stand up like we used to do.
We still will all stand up for the swearing in, but then we'll come up and state our name individually. Okay. So that way it's on the record that each of who was sworn in. Another one was the EPA not recognizing the variance program. So that's a note. It's actually in this current variance request. It's bullet point number 5 of the conditions. It just notes that the EPA doesn't recognize California's variance program. That's been in our variance now for...
Is that forever? Or is that...
That's always been the case. We just never noted it. So it's just something we wanted to make clear so the petitioner and you guys and the public is aware that the EPA doesn't recognize the program and they can still look for enforcement action against things that are federally regulated. The next thing is 6 findings and discussing them individually. This is actually the first full hearing board meeting where we're going to be doing that. The 90-day hearing that we had with Mr. Peters for this same instance We did discuss each finding individually, but that was a single member, so this is going to be the first time for the full hearing board to discuss each finding individually. So the petitioner will be going over, and you will be going over each of those six findings. The next would be petitioners needing to be present for all 90-day hearings and regular hearings, physically present. We've always tried to practice that, and I believe that that's usually been the case, but we're going to be, this is a steadfast rule now. Like, if you want a 90-day hearing, you need to physically be present for it unless something catastrophic or emergency variances and interim variances, we're still going to push for that to happen, but it will be up to the hearing board member on whether or not you want the petitioner to be physically present to discuss the variance. But over the phone would still be allowed, but that will be at your discretion, but we will strive to have physical presence for each hearing that we have.
What's the percentage that they do it now?
Emergency variances, I would say probably 80% are over the phone, maybe even more.
But why can't we do that? I'm missing that.
Why can't we?
They want them in your office then? Is that what you're going to say?
That would be the intent, yeah. But it would be up to your discretion. Because usually when it's an emergency, it's an emergency. And you're somewhere, you're busy, they're somewhere.
Right.
And it's a phone call is typically right. The case. So. The other would be us just continuing to evaluate the hearing board policies and procedures and update it in accordance with what I just said and ongoing improvements to the program, and then just keeping the board apprised of our changes and anything that we'll be doing. So that's all for the specific announcements. I don't know if you guys have any questions related to those or beyond that.
But the only one I have, because of course it's in the scriptures and a little bit later, is when we're looking at the six conditions.
The findings?
The six findings. Are we then essentially voting on each one of those findings, or what is the potential intent of how you would like the board to address those?
Well, it is in the script, so as you read through the script, you'll read the first finding, and then that will be addressed by the petitioner, and you will say, do you agree?
How the intent is. We read the finding, the petitioner responds, and then, okay.
Correct. And if you have questions on the finding, like, please describe how it was beyond your reasonable control, or, you know, or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question. Is it to the extent that the board or the hearing board has to vote separately on each individual finding, or can we just hear all the findings and then have a vote that says that we addressed all the findings?
If you would mind addressing.
You could vote for all findings at one time, just so that you've addressed it, though, on the record, what your position is on those various findings.
Okay.
And so that's all from staff, unless there's any further questions.
Okay. Next item is public comment. Now it's time for members of the public to speak on items that are not on the agenda. Are there any requests to speak on items not on the agenda?
And no speaker slips.
All right, great. Thank you. Next item is public hearings. There is one public hearing today. Will the clerk please read that case into the record?
All right, we have case number 2017-30-R. This is a hearing to consider an application by Freeport MacMoran Oil and Gas, submitted on December 28, 2017, for a regular variance from District Rule 206, conditions 9C14 and 9C23, of Part 70 permit to operate 6708. The petitioner operates the equipment described in the petition at the Lompoc Oil and Gas Plant, located 2.7 miles northeast of the city of Lompoc at 3602 Harris Craig Road.
Okay. Next item is, the witness for this case shall now be sworn in. After taking the oath, you'll be asked to come forward and state your name and affiliation to the case. If you'll be testifying today, please stand and raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm, under penalty of perjury in accordance with the laws of California, that your testimony in this proceeding will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Great, thank you. Now please, everyone, come forward and state your name.
Glenn Oliver, representing Freeport MacMoran Oil and Gas, the petitioner.
Caitlin McNally from the district.
Joel Cordes, the district.
Thank you. This time I'll ask staff to respond again. Because this petition for regular variance, the hearing board will now review the six findings. This time I'll ask the petitioner to make their case again. Please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Glenn Oliver. I'm with SCS Engineers, consultant for Freeport McMoran Oil and Gas. Thank you all for being here today. We tried really hard the last 2 days to avoid you having to meet tonight or today, but appreciate you being here. Freeport McMoran operates a Lumpwick oil and gas plant, and one of our permit conditions there is to keep an older modern station operational and telemeter data to the APCD. Since you haven't all met on this, last September that burned down in a fire off of Rucker Road in Lombok, and pretty much nothing left. So we had been through a whole process of evaluating whether we wanted to move the location of that to better suit the operation of the facility. And we finally came to terms with the district in about the middle of November. We've been under a variance since early October. Emergency 90-day variance since early October. So all the equipment had been ordered as of about early December, with several of the things being long lead time items. We actually got the last of those items last week, one of the analyzers. So this station, in a sense, monitors H2S and total reduced sulfur near the boundary of the facility, in a sense to protect air quality to the residents a mile or more south of there. There haven't been any odors at this station in this area since it's been non-operational. At least, not to my knowledge, there haven't been any reports of any odors. So. If we didn't have this station, we'd technically have to shut down the facility. The facility is takes oil from Blackfoot Marine, about 4,000 to 5,000 barrels a day, and we'd have to stop that operation. And even to get in compliance with that, we'd have to empty all the tanks of all the hydrocarbons, et cetera. So it'd be quite an extensive operation to get into compliance without having an odor monitoring station. The station is probably going to be operational within the next week. The last thing we're having a problem with is the cell modem that communicates with the APCD's data acquisition system. We don't know why at this point it's not working. We bought the cell phone modem from AT&T.
That's why.
You're right, our other stations do use Verizon. And I'm not being paid for that ad. But as of yesterday, AT&T told us that the modem they sold us wouldn't work with what we wanted to do. So we're working with Netgear, the actual manufacturer, to program that modem to get it right. Yesterday's circumstances, they didn't really conspire, they aligned to be against us. The technician went into the doctor's office with the flu, so his whole family had it. So he's supposed to be at the site sometime today, hopefully trying to work the situation out. So we're out of compliance, and we will be until the district is getting data from that system. All the equipment is there. It's going through some calibrations today, and it should be operating and recording data internally by the end of the day. There's really no air quality benefit to be gained at the moment by telling us to shut down. We're not causing any emissions with the loss of the solar monitoring system. There's no nuisance right now with it being non-operational. And like I say, we're within days of getting it fixed. Any questions at this point?
Not at this point. I think we'll have the staff come up, and then we have questions after that.
Okay. Yeah, as Mr. Oliver said, he was in constant contact with the district about, during the interim and a 90-day variance, about ordering the equipment that was necessary, moving forward, progressing.
Real quick, can I get you to state your name?
Mike McKay with ABC. I apologize. So they did order all, they had all the parts on order in late November, early December, while they were still in coverage under the 90-day variance, and then there were some delays from the manufacturing side of it that pushed things beyond the end of the 90-day variance coverage. So that's why they applied for the interim and the regular variance to continue that coverage until they got all the parts that they were supposed to get. So beyond that, staff supports the petition. And I don't know if you have any questions about monitoring specifics, and Joel will be able to address those.
I don't have questions right now about the monitor. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I just want to make sure I understand the status. The monitoring, but for maybe I heard you say a little bit of calibrating needs to be done. The monitoring is working. It's the telemetry to the district that's not functional.
Correct. All the equipment is currently installed. We're doing the last calibrations today. It was monitoring the MET data, et cetera, yesterday. That's all calibrated. And the only thing we're really going to be waiting for is the resolution of the cell phone communication.
And so someone can on-site monitor it or... Do you have the ability to internally to remote read, or at least have somebody physically periodically check?
No, our goal had been to try and get the telemetry to the district up first. We're going to have a secondary link to our own data acquisition system, so to speak. That's going to be done by radio, and we're waiting until we get everything going to get the secondary link done. Our priority was this one.
And I understand there's no history of emissions, but the facility is operational. The main facility is operational.
Oh, the main facility has been operating in there. They're fine. Yes. There's been no problems. Okay.
And this is Mike with the ABC. Incorrect. There hasn't been any history of nuisance violations or anything from odors from that facility through that monitoring station.
I have a question for staff. First one is to verify, have there ever been recorded elevated levels of H2S or total reduced sulfur from that site, regardless of whether they created a nuisance or not?
Yes, there has. In my recent memory, there was one, and it was, I believe, 4 parts per billion was the reading. Okay. So extremely low, but there was one. I don't know if Lynn has to add.
Actually, I do recall one, and it was actually higher than 4. 4 wouldn't have violated any standard. The one that I recall was over 60, and simultaneously there had been a tank hatch opening due to a vapor recovery overpressure at the facility. They noticed it, but there's no real communication between that monitoring system and the facility itself. I mean, they don't talk to them.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I remember us discussing the simultaneous actions with the hatch, the wind direction, and everything lined up, and the monitoring station picked it up right away.
Okay. My second question is more of a technical question. I understand that when you move a station, that it's hard to compare past data with new data because the location's changed. And I wondered what if the staff had done an analysis of that problem.
This monitoring station is going in the same spot.
Oh.
The new one, yeah. They had initially proposed, or Glenn, if you want to address it.
We had initially proposed to relocate analyzers to another station that was nearby. There's 2 monitoring stations at LGP. One does odor, one does ambient conditions. And it would be very easy to take a new analyzer and put it in the existing station. We would have had that going in about 45 to 60 days. But that would have been a location change.
Okay, thank you. That's all.
But why didn't you do it again? You didn't want to change the location. It didn't work.
We actually wanted to. The district wasn't in favor of that location.
Okay, so that would have been why? I wanted to hear you talk today.
Well, since I came down here, Joel Cordes with this APCD, the station was located south of the facility, to which is kind of the direction that the wind would go to where residential houses would be. And the other station is located on the other side of the facility, so it wouldn't have been as ideal for picking up odors that could be traveling to where people live.
And then I just have one other question for the staff. I'm trying to look at things here. So the interim variance was granted through February 28th, and it looks like we're asking the regular variance to go through February 28th. Is that correct?
Correct. The interim variance is good until the day of the decision of the regular variance. So technically, based on your decision today, the interim variance is no longer valid, and then it moves into the regular variance period. The only reason for the interim was because of the public noticing requirement. So technically, they should have just gone from a 90-day to a regular, but because of the public noticing and then having this hearing, the interim covers that gap. And they only requested until the end of February because they felt that they were going to have it done well in advance of that.
Okay. All right, because this is a petition for a regular variance, the hearing board will now review the six findings. Have we found that the petitioner is currently or will be in violation of Health and Safety Code 41701 or any district rules or regulations? So I guess this is the new part.
Does the district say correct, or how does, I think, is that how we used to do it? Or do we say correct?
Yes. I will, so this first one is actually item number 5 in the regular variance. It just notes that they would be in violation of District Rule 206 conditions of the permit, which is in accordance with that first finding. So I'm not sure, being that this is our first regular hearing going over these, I'm not sure, Mr. Zuliger, if you, how you want us to go about this.
I think that the petitioner testifying under oath that they are in violation and that they will continue to be in violation without this variance makes that finding for us.
Yeah. I think in the past, actually, the petitioner would go over the findings. We would ask them. I think that's how we used to do it. We used to do these.
I do recall you doing it that way. I mean, you've got the flexibility of right. going how you like, but that is how you addressed it in the past.
Right. Is that okay with everybody?
Yeah. I'm fine with that. Yeah. We just need to make sure we figure out what our process is. So and then essentially, because we have the six findings here, I should be asking the petitioner rather than asking the board. Okay. Okay, so I guess the question is, are you currently or will you be in violation of Health and Safety Code 41701 or any district rules or regulations?
We currently are in violation of such.
Okay. Are the conditions beyond reasonable control of you and compliance would result in either an unreasonable taking of property or closing of a lawful business?
I think they are as close as we are to getting the station up. We just need a little bit more time. I think it's reasonable considering where we've been. The station was burned down. We didn't have any control of that. We've diligently worked for the district to get to where we are now. And I think you can make the finding that it's reasonable to continue for the next bit.
Okay.
And just to make sure the record is clear, it's a ripple effect of not in compliance with this odor monitoring station means shutting down the plant.
Technically, you have a permit to operate the plant. One of the conditions is to operate the station. If you don't do that, you can't operate the plant.
So then I guess the next question is, would there be a corresponding benefit in reducing these air contaminants if we required you to reduce them right now?
Well, there wouldn't be an immediate one. If we stopped operating today, we'd still have oil and gas in that plant. We'd have to get rid of it. And it would take longer to get rid of it than it would to fix the remaining part of the problem. Curtailing operations, i.e. reducing operations, wouldn't have an impact either.
Okay.
The station itself doesn't cause or eliminate odors. So.
All right.
I think that responds to the fourth finding, which asks for curtailing operations in lieu of obtaining the variance. Did you have a question?
No.
Okay. So you take all efforts to reduce excess emissions during the maximum extent possible right now, right?
Absolutely. This shouldn't cause any excess emissions.
Okay. And from what you said earlier, it appears that excess emissions, they could be quantified or monitored. They just can't be transmitted right now. Is that right?
Just to be technically correct, the station itself doesn't really monitor any excess emissions. It would tell you if there had been a release that was detected. The release itself, we would be able to determine emissions from in a different manner.
Okay. So the data right now that you're receiving that we're not transmitting, you're still able to collect that somehow? Or is it...
Once the analyzers are all running online and recording data, which is probably going to be noonish today, that data will be sitting there and we can pull it out, and the district should even be able to back pull it at some point.
Okay, so during this time frame, we should still be able to get the data. It just takes longer.
Right.
Okay. Any discussion from the board here as to whether these findings have not been made? The six findings have been made. Do we have any public comment? Have any changes been identified in today's session that need to be reflected in the variance as drafted?
I think you should take a vote that you've...
I think that's okay. The next step.
Okay.
Sarah's done a nice job.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Any further discussion? All right, so then may I please have a motion to approve the variance?
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Abstain? Opposed? Motion carries. Passes. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And the next item is the approval of the administrative agenda. Does any board member wish to pull any of these items from the administrative section?
We're okay.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? No. I just have one, and it's not the pulling item, but just one general comment. For items A3 and A4, in the abbreviation, when you look at how the descriptions are done, you usually have a little bit more rationale. When you look at items A1 and A2, you talk about the reason you're in violation is for older monitoring station due to structure being completely destroyed. When you look at A3 and A4, it just says, this is what we need. I would suspect that from previous ones, you would have had something along the lines of, like in A3, after it says permit to operate 5704, and without a monitoring station, because maintenance crews could not reach the facility due to Montecito flooding. Just those two don't have that little extra blur that we have in all.
Sure, yeah, no, I understand it. And that could just be the paraphrasing of the variance itself, but I'm sure that those are explained in the variance, but for further, from this point forward, we'll make sure that it's a little bit more clear.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll move the administrative agenda.
Okay. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right. Approved. With that, do we have any other comments, announcements, or anything else from the board? No. Then...
I have a question. So my thing's up in May?
July.
So I'm planning on staying, okay?
Okay.
So if you have to reappoint me or whatever you have to do. Do I have to do an interview or anything, or no?
You have to find what you must. Lunch.
Yeah.
The hearing board nominating committee of our board of directors will meet either in March or May to discuss your appointment, whether or not they want to open a recruitment or continue your membership, and then that recommendation will be taken to the full board.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Next meeting. What do you expect?
Right now, we don't have anything coming up, knock on wood, for the next couple of months. Yeah, at least three or four. So, I mean, unless something comes up out of nowhere. Yeah, unexpectedly, but we don't have anything in the books. Like I said, all these pipeline ones are now in two-year windows, so that won't be until 2019 for any of that stuff, if the pipeline is even still out.
And then we do have the Wine Institute permit appeal case. We're working on finding a date. Yeah, we're trying to get the full hearing board there. So I'm going to be sending out an email with some alternate dates.
Yeah, I'm out of the country the first week of April.
Okay. So I'll be sending that out in the next day or two.
And when do you turn out of the country?
March 20th. March 20th.
March. And then you'll be gone 3 months or so?
Probably two. Yeah.
Who took over for you last time? Did we have somebody?
We didn't have any meetings while I was gone.
Okay.
So it worked out nicely.
Yeah, we're planning that.
Except for the big meeting. They can't do it before you leave, huh?
No.
Okay. Come to your hospital?
That's right. Via video. Then I just have one question, because supervisors just approved some of the rules for the cannabis cultivation. Is any of that going to filter down, you know, because there's odor, there's a whole bunch of other things. Is any of that going to impact us, or are we going to have oversight over anything?
It's not expected for any of that to come to the hearing board. If there are any requirements, the first step would be potentially permitting requirements with the district. But right now, that's unknown if there will be any permit requirements for the district. But we don't expect a variance to be needed, especially since you cannot grant a variance from the requirement to have a permit. So they'd need to get a permit first in order to potentially need a variance.
But you are making them get a permit, or you're not?
It depends on the extent of the operations and equipment. Potentially for prime diesel generators, if they're involved in any of the growing operations or greenhouse operations, and then also potentially if the odor controls involve use of VOCs, which include volatile organic compound emissions, which may include toxic air contaminants or hazardous air pollutants. We don't have enough information at this time to know what the potential permit requirements are.
Okay, because the odor, that was a big part of the discussion.
Yeah.
Right, because I remember we had that guy there from Orange County at SLO. Remember we were at the SLO training? They had some issues over there. Like you said, they did the nail salons to launder the money from the marijuana. Remember that they were doing. Yeah. So that's real.
So you go to get your nails done in the back room.
So they get cash, but you can't get a bank. The thing, right?
Yeah. So the money goes to the nails.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
A plug for. My neighbor, two blocks away, has an art exhibit in the lobby on the first floor here. May I point that out to you on your way out of the building? Perhaps she'll
in the building here?
In this building right here, yeah. There are art exhibits that rotate through. This man is an accomplished costume designer and photographer. So let me draw your attention to that. Thank you.
Is it the one on the first floor?
On the first floor.
Okay.
Thank you. Very good.
Without anything else, then we will go ahead and adjourn the meeting. About 30 minutes, not bad.